something when he started that first song and how it goes fast. And I thought he meant maybe the whole service. It's starting slow and it's going to get going and going and going. I'm going, oh no, it's going to derail when I go up there. But I hope not. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for your holiness. I just ask that you would continue to be with us in this place. Speak to us. It's my hope today that you would just speak to us through each other, and that in this time we would just have of maybe testimony and reading your word, that we would be encouraged, if nothing more than just who you are. Encouraged in being your children. Simple as that. That you would just encourage us as a body, and strengthen us for what you have in the future, for your glory. Because you deserve it. Amen. Okay, so my intent for this morning is to basically ask you. So we've been challenged with a prayer challenge. Larry has kind of spelled it out with each month gain more time, and for me that's been somewhat discouraging because I don't have a lot of time to just think and pray and whatever. But anyways, we've been challenged to pray more, I guess we could leave it at that, and to be more intentional and pray. And so I was just wondering if we could spend some time this morning, just wondering if how, I mean, you don't have to answer these questions, but how you've taken that challenge. Have you kept up with it? What was it, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it was per month, and just keep doubling it, and I think we're up to a lot more time than I've been able to do. But anyways, and yet, the Bible, I mean, I think it's a command, says pray without ceasing. Just constantly be in communion. And so in a way, I think I do that. There's moments and times where I'm mindlessly working and not thinking about much else, but there are opportunities, I guess, that we can be in prayer more than just those intentional times or whatever of watching the clock or whatever. But anyways, so just those questions. How did you see it? How have you done in the prayer challenge? Has it been challenging? What did you discover? And I'm hoping some of us would share. And I'll share a little bit more of how it's affected me. So if you would, just as we get started, be possibly willing to share, and I think Dave has a microphone he'll bring to you, if you would be so gracious to share with us. Certainly I've been missing share times. We just don't get together. Lynn, you're back. I'm surprised. I don't know why. Maybe I shouldn't be, but. Yeah, sorry. Good. Good. I'm glad to see you. Sorry, I got distracted. Where was I? I'm hoping that others will share and that God will be glorified as we witness to what He's been doing amongst us. Oh, I remember. We haven't had a lot of time to share. We haven't had small groups. We don't get together after church very much in a Sunday school setting or those times. I mean, it's just tough to be able to meet in each other's homes, or it's not even been tough, it's been impossible, or just certainly we've chosen not to and all that stuff, and I miss the interaction. I don't hear what God's doing amongst you, and I don't think that's good. It's not healthy, and we should do that more. So I hope some of that happens this morning too, that we're encouraged in hearing how each other are doing, and we see what God's been doing, more importantly. just how we've experienced those prayer times and what God's been showing you. I want to start by reading Psalm 24, 1 through 6. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Just facts. That's what he did. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Answer, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. I think that's what prayer is. We seek him. We're looking. Where are you? What are you doing? What do you want me to do? All that stuff. Who are you? Show me more of who you are. So we seek him. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. So I hope that's been what you've done in the prayer challenge. We seek him, we cry out to him. That's what I've been doing. More crying out lately, more sort of demanding, because I just sort of been, where are you? What's going on? I've been discouraged. I've been in a fog almost, maybe, just not being able to see clearly. So that last song was just really appropriate to me. Help us to see, Lord. We want to see you. Such is the generation of those who seek him. I guess I'll open it up now. Hopefully, Denise was like, boy, you better have a backup plan. If nobody talks, I'm in trouble. I guess just those few questions, and you can answer any one of them. How have you done with the prayer challenge? You don't have to be specific. This isn't time to be hard on yourself that you haven't done it or whatever. I haven't, been able to keep up with the actual timing of things. But I just let's share amongst each other and what God's been doing in your life, and how hopefully that's will be encouraging to the rest. Eddie.
I want to thank you all for last week for praying for me and also giving me the courage and the strength to be here last week. And not only that, but I thank the Lord thy God for giving me the courage and the strength to live each and every day, not only here, but on the outside, too, of this place, too. And sometimes when you have the courage and strength, it is a great feeling. And however, I'm not out of the woods yet, but I'm still trying very, very hard to get back to the way I once was. And I'm going to say a prayer for all of you. A Heavenly Father, a Father God, all of us come here with love and with a very, very, very sincere and very honest and open heart. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, in the mighty and precious name of Jesus, I want to thank thee for Jesus. Thank thee for our Heavenly Father. And more and most importantly, I want to thank thee for all of you. And I love you all. I just love you all. And I thank thee for giving me the courage and the strength to live my life. And I want to thank thee for this congregation too. This congregation has what it really takes. This congregation has the guts and the strength and the power. I want to thank thee. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's people say, amen and amen.
Thanks, Ed, for praying for us. Psalm 119. Some more promises. Psalm 119, 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong, but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. Some of my times have been that, just feeling like, wow, I just do not measure up. I can't. There's a lot of laws and decrees. And yet, he finds us blameless, those that that seek him with their whole heart. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with their whole heart, with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. It's just like, wait a minute, that's not me. I try to seek him. So anyways, that's just some of the places I've been. Anybody else? He has precepts that we're to obey. We fully should obey. And he's blessed when we do that. And thank you for Jesus' blood. Emma.
I've had a hard time keeping up with the prayer challenge. It definitely encouraged me to pray more and be more intentional about it. Definitely something I need to work on a lot more. I was reading in Genesis 15 the other day, and it's when God is promising, it's basically God and Abraham are talking, and God is like promising him, like, I'm going to be with you. Don't be afraid. I'm going to give you all this land. And Abraham's like, but God, I don't have a son. Like, God literally just promised to be with him forever and to give him all this land and not to be afraid. And Abraham's like, yeah, 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 but. And God's like, okay, yeah. And they just, like, go back and forth. And, like, it was just really encouraging to me that God didn't shame Abraham or, like, judge him or, like, kill him for, like, being mad or upset that God hadn't given him what he wanted. And they just, I don't know, it was just like a really cool exchange to read about, and like, God wants to know our hearts, and it was just a cool reminder to like call out to him for what's on my heart. And God eventually does give Abraham a son, like several years later, but he is faithful. So I don't know, that was just kind of like a cool prayer story. I don't know, but I definitely need to work more on prayer, and this challenge was good for reminding me of that, because I didn't want to be reminded of that. So, yeah.
He is a gracious God. Paulette.
We weren't here when this prayer challenge started, but the one thing that I've been praying for, and I know you have too, and I want to thank you for it, is for my son Danny. The first day that he started chemotherapy last fall, I felt like the Lord was asking me to send him a a psalm every day. And so I went through the psalms, and of course I got to Psalms 119, and it's kind of long, so I broke it down into different parts. But the Lord showed me in each psalm something that I could send Danny as I was praying him through this whole time. And the Lord just answered graciously and healed him. He had to go through two different surgeries, but, you know, he's good today. He's back in Africa, and I just praise and thank the Lord for answered prayer on his behalf. The last psalm was right before he left for Africa again, and I felt kind of empty, like, oh, now what do I do? And it was a couple weeks that I didn't talk to him every day. And then the Lord put on my heart my niece, Michaela. She was 6 or 7 years old when she came to Vacation Bible School right here in this building. And she asked Jesus into her heart. And when my sister found out about it, she wouldn't let her come back. I've been praying for my sister and her husband and her family for many years. I still continue to pray, and I'd ask you to pray for Michaela, because right now she's having a hard time. She's going to be a senior next year. She's very depressed, doesn't want to go to school, back to school, doesn't want to do anything. She just sits at home. And so the Lord's been asking me to send her a verse every day, and I've been doing that for the past week. So I would like to ask you to pray for my niece, Michaela, that she would realize that she asked Jesus into her life, and he hasn't left her. And she just needs to hear his word, and she needs to be encouraged that he still loves her. Thank you.
Thanks, Paulette. Just reminded about the love of a mother. Wow, it's powerful. Mary.
So when I heard about this, I thought, well, I guess I don't have anything to share because I really don't think I did the prayer challenge, so I'm a failure, but God tells me differently. we're all individuals, and it's not a formula. And so he's asked me to just share what has been happening in my life. So I just appreciate so much of what I've heard this morning. It's just lines up. It's about the heart, right? And I think prayer really starts with that. It's all about a relationship with Jesus and your heart condition. And to back up a little bit, and just to share really briefly, God has me right now in a group of believers where we meet online twice a day, every day, communion. And so there's a lot of prayer that is involved in our group of how we meet. We've been praying for a lost and dying world. We've been praying for a lukewarm church. There's a lot of prayer there. I think that for me personally, this prayer has been, my prayer. In Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Again, it's just coming to him daily, asking him to keep my heart clean before him, and to renew a right spirit. And you know, when it says to cast me in, I think if we ignore it, when he points out sin and we pretend not to hear, or we just kind of, that's so easy to do, like, oh, I didn't hear your voice, that was, no, you know, that's a very scary thing to do, because eventually God can take the Holy Spirit away, and that scares me. I never want that to happen. I always want to walk in his truth, and I always want to, my prayer is to keep my first love. I think when it says restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, I think that's talking about the first love. It's like the joy of the first love. I think as we all look around, I think we know that our King is coming. And those of you that know me know that one of the things I've been doing for a while now, and the Word does ask us to, is watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray as we see the day approaching. Watch and pray that our garments would be found spotless, without spot and wrinkle before Him, that we're ready for our groom. That we're, and so that's been a prayer for me personally, to be one of the wise virgins. With my, and we've, you know, keeping my lamp trimmed, ready, full of the Holy Spirit, ready for, I mean, you know, I think the analogy that God gives us of a wedding is really great. I mean, those of you that have been, you know, had someone we know get married or got married, is there anything that we can think of besides the groom and the bride of in the coming wedding? And that's part of my prayer right now, is that in that relationship. So what else, Lord? The car rides have become an amazing time. And again, I don't have a formula, but car rides have just been so fun. It's the Lord and I talking and fellowshipping. And again, there's not a formula. So I felt like a failure, but I guess I'm not, right? because God showed me all of this is prayer, and it starts with just that heart that wants to know Him, to draw closer to Him, and to be in communion with Him. I guess that's all. So no formula here. I am definitely a no formula kind of person.
Me too. Don't fence me in. I'm gonna get out. Thanks, Mary. Lamentations 3:19-26. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Wow. Have you been there? Affliction, wandering, bitterness. The gall of it all. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. You know the next one. They are what? New every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those who hope in Him, to those, same chapter here. The Lord is good to those who hope, whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3:19-26.
That passage just spoke to me, because throughout my life I've had these times of waiting, but I just want to testify that, like it's already been said, He is faithful, and as we wait on Him, He gives us what we need.
That's right.
You know, I'm with probably several others that didn't do so well with the prayer challenge. Other than when I do my devotional time and have, you know, specific time of prayer, I feel I'm in probably constant communication with my Father throughout the day. I constantly feel like I am communicating with him throughout the day. And then I do have like a lot of times where the Holy Spirit places someone or something on my heart to specifically pray for, which I do stop right then and there and lift up whomever or whatever. But the prayer challenge of specifically having blocks of time to sit down and specifically pray was definitely a difficult thing other than devotional time. But I do feel that I have a constant communication, and I have a feeling that a lot of people have that same, you know, thing going on throughout the day of a constant communication with Dad. And I love the fact that the Holy Spirit, you know, places and puts people and things on our hearts throughout the day to pray for. And I find that there's been times that all of a sudden I'm someplace that I wasn't intended to be, and I'm praying. And I'm like, why am I here? And what is the reason to be here other than to pray? Where I've like pulled into a parking lot and parked and just started praying, and I had absolutely no reason to be there. So, and I've prayed and then just drove off and just thought, okay, obviously there was a reason for that, but I had no knowledge of what that reason was. But I know the Father had a reason for it, but I just know that personally, I have always had a very tough time with prayer challenges like that and finding blocks of time to just sit down and pray. I don't know, maybe that's just my type A personality of not wanting to, you know, sit and do nothing for an hour worth of time. Where I can feel that I can, you know, talk to my dad while I'm doing multitasking, but that's just me. But I'll confess up that I did have a tough time. So that's it.
Thanks, Lynn. Psalm 10:4. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Came across that one. Talks about those that don't seek him. Pride and busyness, according to Psalms here, says it would keep us from seeking him. So just to be careful to check that. Through the prayer challenge, I've been encouraged. I guess I'm thinking of the song we sang this morning, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet. I've felt that. Like I say, I've sort of felt like I've been living in a fog, or just, I don't know, you can't see clearly, or at least not far enough that I want to see. I can see right here, which is what the lamp usually does. It doesn't talk about a spotlight. Your word is a spotlight. Your word is a, I don't know. It's just a lamp, just for the next step. And I found that's he's encouraged me in that. I've been able to continue on in faith sometimes, just to take that next step, just keep going. So there's some of the things God's been, I don't know, reteaching me, reminding me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. And it's certainly in the prayer times have been studying his word and just reading and dwelling on scripture. And I found that to be true. Even in the fog, we can keep going. Anybody else? I'm almost done here with what I have prepared. Just his word, just intertwined in this. Acts 17, 24 through 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times and history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Acts 17, 24 through 28. Actually, I read 29, which Acts 17, 24 through 28. He is not served by human hands. We're not human doings. We're human beings. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He hopes that we'll be involved. He hopes we'll seek him. He's given us so much, the whole world. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. And find him. Oh, find him everywhere.
I'm thinking back of my pilgrimage. At 10 or 11 years old, my mom, Wilma, sat me down at the kitchen table and told me that Dallas accepted the Lord at Lauraville Christian Camp in Pennsylvania that summer, and God would speak to me someday, and I should respond to his voice. And I says, like, I'm going to hear God.
Hello, Darwin, are you there?
I'm like, my mom says, no, he's going to speak to your heart. You, not an audible voice. And I accepted the Lord the following year at Lauraville. Didn't walk close to the Lord till about 17. I rededicated my life to the Lord and asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking I didn't know much about being filled with the Spirit. I knew that if we confessed with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believed in our heart God raised him from the dead, we'd be saved and his blood washed away my sins. But that opened to me a door of walking in the Spirit. And I tried walking through the disciplines of the Christian life and thinking maybe I should tithe my time. I spent 2 hours and 21 or 24. I had figured out mathematically, don't know if it was 2 hours and 24 minutes, but a tithe of my time each day in the Word and in prayer. And I'm thinking thoughts. It didn't really help me in being more fruitful in the Holy Spirit. It didn't really help me mature in the fruits of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle. I thought more people should be as holy as I am. They should be as diligent in the Christian walk as I am. I'm a pretty good guy, one of those holier-than-thou thoughts that come to you in your Christian life. So anyways, as time went on, I went through times of spending no time in devotions, no time in prayer every day, but still praying without ceasing, still walking in the Lord. And then in the last few years, God's opened the door for me to spend a half hour with Chuck Swindoll every morning. And the Daily Bread Meditations has a walk through the Bible in a year. Last year, I was able to go through the Bible, and this year again, I'm going through the Bible. So yesterday morning, I'm reading, and I was in 1 Kings chapter 10. And it speaks of Solomon and the wisdom God had given him and all the prestige, and the Queen of Sheba came and saw how Solomon operated, and she was blown away. She says, "The half hasn't even been told me." And then in 1 Kings 11, King Solomon loved many foreign women, and the Lord had clearly instructed the people of Israel, "You must not marry them. They'll turn your hearts from to their gods." Yet Solomon insisted on loving them anyway. In Solomon's old age, they turned his heart to worship other gods instead of completely faithful to the Lord his God, as his father David had been. The Lord was very angry with Solomon, for his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. You know, we walk with the Lord since we're preteens, teenagers. Now I'm doing the math, 67. So that's been 50 years. He had warned Solomon specifically about worshiping other gods, but Solomon did not listen to the Lord's command. It says, in Solomon's old age, he was not faithful to the Lord his God as his father David had been. Nathan came to David, and David repented and begged God's mercy. And I'm thinking there's probably some instances in Solomon's old age that he was warned, but he was stubborn. He didn't follow the Lord. I just have a passion to continue on. And I'm grateful for God's mercy. Kevin read, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's exciting hearing God's still small voice and following him throughout our day. As Lynn shared, we pray without ceasing, and we hear God walking with us through the small details of our days, and it's exciting. I just encourage us older ones and us younger ones just to have the passion to hear from his Holy Spirit.
I'm going to end in 1 Kings 2. I mean, 1 Kings also. 1 Kings 8, 52 through 61. It's a prayer from Solomon. It's a bunch of prayers as he was dedicating the temple. He was praying to God, dedicating the temple, and then he prays for the assembly. So it's going to be a little part of the end of the one prayer, and then I'm going to pray it like it's my prayer for this assembly. And then we'll close. We're going to close with that, with the love of God. Nate, sorry. Then we're going to close with a song, The Love of God. I think we mostly all know it. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. In the second verse, when years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, we look around. When men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, that's us, Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. So just a neat song. Let's pray. And again, you can find this in 1 Kings 8:52 through 61. May your eyes be open to your servant's plea, Lord, and to the plea of your people. And may you listen to them whenever they cry out to you. For you singled them out from all the nations of the world to be your own inheritance, just as you declared through your servant Moses when you, sovereign Lord, brought our ancestors out of Egypt. And when Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out towards heaven. He stood and blessed the whole assembly of Israel in a loud voice, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with them. May he never leave us or forsake us. May he turn our hearts to him, to walk in obedience to him and to keep the commands, decrees, and laws he gave our ancestors. And may these words of mine, which I have prayed before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may uphold the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, the cause of his people in Alden, according to each day's need, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no other. And may your hearts be fully committed to the Lord our God to live by his decrees and obey his commandments at this time." Thank you, God, for this morning, for the testimonies of how you're working and the testimony of your word, how it's true and unfailing. Give us hope as we look to the future. Like Dave mentioned earlier, we watch the news and focus on things outside of you. It's just really discouraging. Help us to test and know what to throw away and what to hold on to. Give us hope and your peace, Lord, for your glory. Amen.